Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says the main reason behind Iranophobia is the Islamic Republic's support for the Palestinian people. Russia calls on the UN Security Council to ask for an independent inquiry into the Nord Stream gas pipeline explosions. And the death toll from a massive earthquake that has recently hit Turkey and Syria passes 45,000, with many still unaccounted for. Hello and welcome. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us to Iran this hour, where the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the enemy has resorted to Iranophobia because the Islamic Republic has been supportive of the Palestinian nation. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said Iran will defend the Palestinian nation in any way it can. The leader criticized some Islamic countries for turning a blind eye to Israel's atrocities against Palestinians. Ayatollah Khamenei underlined that if Islamic governments had strongly stood up against Israel when it was created, the West Asia region would be in a different state today. The leader was addressing a group of top officials, as well as a number of representatives of Islamic countries in Tehran, on the occasion of Eid of Mabath, which marks the day the Prophet Muhammad was chosen as God's messenger. Ayatollah Khamenei also called for the cooperation amongst Muslims, urging Islamic nations to stay united. Several Latin American governments voiced their strong opposition to the Israeli plan to build more settlements in the occupied West Bank. In a joint statement, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, and Mexico said they are profoundly worried by Israel's decision, which they say would violate international law. Last week, Israel authorized 9 settlement outposts and pledged to construct new settler units in the occupied territories. Some Western countries also criticized the plan, saying any unilateral action would only exacerbate tensions between the Israelis and Palestinians. The new Israeli cabinet under Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has stepped up its far-right agenda. All Israeli settlements are illegal under international law. Well, an Islamic center in Italy has recently released a book on the life of the late Iranian commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. The book's title is A God's Fighter. Our correspondent in Rome brings us more.
The Rome-based Islamic Center Imam Mahdi has recently published a book on the late Iranian commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Titled A God's Fighter, the Italian-language book revolves around General Soleimani's endeavors to defend the oppressed people. A man, quote, driven by an unshakable faith in God. The book is a collection of messages, thoughts, and letters by General Soleimani, a project that has been supported by all the members of the Imam Mahdi Center.
Who did General Soleimani fight for? By publishing this book, we wanted to shed a light on a man who was always described as an anti-something. Yes, he was against Zionism, he fought against Daesh, but he did all that for God, and that's why we call him a God's fighter in our book. This project intends to fill a void in Italy, as for far too long, all accounts on General Soleimani have distorted his true image.
In 2020, 40 days after U.S. assassination of Major General Qasem Soleimani, hundreds of his posters were hung across many Italian cities. Initiatives to honor the slain Iranian military officer were held in Rome and Milan. Imam Mahdi Center's book on Soleimani also contains speeches by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani on General Soleimani's martyrdom. The publication also contains photos portraying Iran's former top military commander.
Finding good quality photos of Soleimani was a daunting task. There are only a few good shots of him around. He was not a poser. He was a humble man and he didn't love to be in the spotlight. My favorite photos are the ones depicting General Soleimani with kids and also his mother.
General Qasem Soleimani, similar to my father, because he caused that I love Islam more and more. He is my hero because he always helped the weak country or weak Islamic country. I'm proud of him.
The book closes with 20 short stories on the life of General Soleimani, his relationship with his family, and with the late Iraqi anti-terror commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, Max Civili, Rome.
Moving on to other news this hour, Russia wants the UN Security Council to ask for an independent inquiry into the Nord Stream gas pipeline explosions. Russia's representative to the UN has already submitted a draft resolution to the 15-member council. It asks the UN chief to establish an international investigation into the blast and to identify who was to blame. The U.S. and NATO had called the September incident an act of sabotage. Moscow has blamed the West, but neither side has provided evidence. But an American investigative journalist claimed last week that U.S. Navy divers had destroyed the pipelines with explosives. He said that President Joe Biden personally issued the orders, an allegation the White House has dismissed. In Turkey and Syria, grief is weighing heavily on people as the death toll from the massive earthquake that jolted the two countries on February 6th has now passed 45,000. Turkey has confirmed around 40,000 deaths, while the number of fatalities in neighboring Syria stands at over 5,800. The 7.8 magnitude earthquake and its aftershocks have also injured and displaced thousands of other people. Operations are underway to retrieve bodies from the rubble, as well as to find those who might have survived the catastrophe. However, many international rescue crews have left the vast earthquake zone as the likelihood of pulling out people alive diminishes. In a rare scene, three men were found alive in the Turkish province of Hatay on Friday after being trapped under debris for 11 days. At least 53 people were killed in an ambush in central Syria, which the media is blaming on Daesh terrorists. A Syrian health official says 46 civilians are among the dead. Victims had gunshot wounds to their heads. Other details are sketchy, and there's no claim of responsibility for the attack in the desert east of Homs. But Daesh terror group has in the past killed or kidnapped many people in central, northeastern, and the eastern areas of Syria. The latest such incident was on Saturday when 16 people were reportedly killed by the terrorists. Remnants of Daesh are still active in parts of Syria after their defeat in 2018. The UN estimates the group maintains up to 10,000 terrorists in the country and in neighboring Iraq. Now, the U.S. and China are on a collision course with each other over a wide range of issues, including Taiwan and the South China Sea. Tensions are growing over the recent shooting down of a Chinese balloon in U.S. skies. In our news review program, we'll discuss in length issues that have recently escalated tensions between the world's two top economies.
Welcome to another edition of the News Review. In this edition, the U.S. says military channels with China are closed after a recent balloon episode elevated the tensions between the two countries to new highs. The spokesman for the White House National Security Council says, however, that diplomatic lines of communication remain open. Earlier this month, the U.S. shot down what it called a Chinese spying balloon that intruded into its airspace. Beijing slammed the move as an overreaction, saying it was a weather monitoring balloon that was blown off course. On Friday, the U.S. said that it had collected sensors and other debris from the balloon and investigators were analyzing them. Even before the balloon incident, Beijing and Washington were at odds over a host of issues, including Taiwan, Hong Kong, and trade. Meanwhile, a senior U.S. military official reportedly visits Taiwan amid these tensions over the island. According to media reports, the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Michael Chase is now in Taiwan, but this is yet to be confirmed by Taiwan's Defense Ministry and the Pentagon. Chase is the most senior U.S. military official to visit the self-ruled island since 2019. Separately, a U.S. bipartisan delegation is heading there this weekend to bolster ties with Taiwan's semiconductor industry. In response, China has urged the U.S. to stop meddling in the dispute with Taiwan. Beijing considers the island part of its territory and has repeatedly warned the U.S. against ties with Taiwan. To discuss that further, we're joined by Dr. Digby James Wern, a geopolitical analyst, and also Professor Yoichiro Sato Ritsukemen from the Asian Pacific University. Thank you very much to both of you, gentlemen. Let's begin with Dr. Wern. Now, these tensions are escalating even more right now, considering that we are hearing news from Taiwan that a U.S. military official is visiting there, although it has not been confirmed yet. But why do you think the U.S. is trying to rub China the wrong way?
Well, the U.S. is trying to rub China the wrong way all the time. There's nothing new there. Just 2 days ago, it was agreed that a Chinese mainland group would head to Taiwan at the invitation of the mayor of Taipei. And so I don't think it's any coincidence that those two visits are going to happen at approximately the same time. And of course, you know, the U.S. is in the process of expanding its bases in the Pacific. You know, there's problems in Australia with nuclear ambiguity. You know, the Australians, not stating whether or not US B-52s have nuclear weapons, the nuclear submarines as well. I mean, so, you know, this is escalation right across the Pacific. And, of course, there's always the problems that are continuing in the Ukraine.
So, Professor Sato, in your opinion, how do you see these relations between China and US developing?
Well, as you stated earlier, the relationship has been tense for the last couple of years already, prior to the balloon incident. And the balloon shooting didn't make it any better. But having said that, it's not, you know, when rubbing the other country in the wrong way, that's a kind of mutual tit for tat. That's how the tensions escalate. And the balloon incident came in the wrong timing when, you know, the Secretary Blinken was preparing for a visit to Beijing. And that was supposed to be an opportunity for the two countries to diffuse the ongoing tension. And there was plenty of reason why China, too, was looking for such an opportunity. China has been under the economic isolation because of the first pandemic, and also because of the political tensions with the United States and its allies and friends. And then China's support for the Russian invasion of Ukraine made things even worse. So China wanted to take a break from all these the diplomatic difficulties and try to diffuse the tension with the U.S., but somebody had to fly a balloon. So that tells something about, you know, the way Chinese government is operating. It's probably very disorganized on that side.
So back to Dr. Wern. In your opinion, what is going to happen next? I mean, we see the U.S. obviously trying to boost its military ties with Taiwan. China has time and again warned the U.S. not to do so. We've even had military exercises on the part of China taking place in that region. How is this going to
continue? It's a red line. It's always been a red line, and it will always remain a red line for China. There's never been any doubt about that. And so the U.S. knows what it's getting into. And I think it's fairly agreed now that the U.S. is salami slicing Shanghai communique, so its agreement over the One China principle. And that's just continuing. And one of the only things that the US Congress can ever agree on is military spending and to have a foreign demon. So, you know, it's got Russia and China as foreign demons. Those security relationships are very much forward projection. One needs to always remember that the American power projection is all the way to China's near waters. It's not the other way around. There are no Chinese ships in California. So, you know, it's always going to be a red line. And China has always had a fairly measured response. The volatility of the balloon incident where, you know, those meteorological balloons, weather balloons, all sorts of surveillance balloons, there's hundreds and hundreds of these balloons floating around. And, you know, there was just news that the Americans had shot down some amateur balloonist's balloon. This is really a kind of a diversion.
Thank you very much, Professor Yoichiro Sato from the Ritsu Kamen Asian Pacific University, and also Dr. Degbe James Warren, geopolitical analyst. Thank you for joining us on this edition of the News Review.
I continue with more news now this hour. North Korea fires an unspecified ballistic missile towards the sea east of the Korean Peninsula. This is according to the South Korean and Japanese militaries. The launch, the first of its kind since the start of the year, comes ahead of planned U.S.-South Korea drills next week. Pyongyang had threatened an unprecedented strong response to the war games. Recently, the North also displayed its new ICBMs. Pyongyang has continued its missile development program despite UN resolutions and sanctions. Now, the North claims its missile launches are in response to the United States' growing presence in the region and views such exercises as provocative and rehearsals for an invasion. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. In Britain, some experts have warned the National Health Service is already heading for a two-tier system. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Observer has covered the story. NHS trusts with record waiting lists are promoting quick and easy private healthcare services at their own hospitals, offering patients the chance to jump year-long queues, The Observer can reveal. Hospitals are offering hip replacements from £10,000, cataract surgery for £2,200, and hernia repairs for £2,500. Magnetic resonance imaging or MRI scans are offered for between £300 and £400. This comes as figures show a record 7.2 million people are waiting for NHS treatment in England, with routine breaches of the maximum waiting time of 18 weeks for non-urgent referrals. Health experts warn of the risk of creating a two-tier healthcare system. An Observer investigation has found East Sussex Healthcare NHS Trust has thousands of patients waiting for diagnostic tests but offers fast access to scans through its private division. Great Western Hospital's NHS Trust in Wiltshire is warning patients that services are extremely busy, while its private division promotes self-pay treatment for those who don't want to wait for an NHS referral. James Paget University Hospital NHS Trust in Norfolk is advertising private services on its NHS website, stating, "We provide highly experienced consultant-led services without the waiting list." The premium treatments are being offered through private patient units owned and operated by NHS Trust and typically located on hospital premises. Procedures are often carried out by the same staff who would eventually treat patients if they stayed on the NHS waiting list. Under a code of conduct, private services cannot impact on NHS patient care, and profits go back into the health service. It comes as the Sunday Times reported thousands of NHS patients will be moved urgently into care homes and under government plans to ease pressure on accident and emergency wards. An emergency winter pressure package would be unveiled by the Health Secretary Steve Barclay this week that would include a hospital discharge fund, while the final package was still being negotiated at No. 10 Downing Street. Senior government sources said it would involve spending hundreds of millions of pounds on top of the £500 million in social care funding announced in the autumn statement, the report said. At Sussex Premier Health, part of East Sussex Healthcare NHS Trust, MRI scans are carried out within 48 hours for £379, according to a recent Instagram promotion. The trust has more than 7,800 patients waiting for diagnostic tests. Great Western Hospital's NHS Trust in Wiltshire offers private healthcare through a 20-bed unit, the Shelbourne Suite. The private patient website says, "We believe quality healthcare should be readily accessible." A woman whose elderly mother was treated by the trust in October claims she was told she could bypass the long waiting list if she paid. "My 86-year-old mother will have to wait 2 years on the NHS waiting list or can see the same surgeon in the same hospital and be treated in just 2 weeks' time for £1,200. How is this right?" she wrote on Twitter. Another trust, Hampshire Hospital NHS Trust, is promoting services through its private Candover Clinic. More than 53,500 patients were waiting for non-urgent elective treatment at the trust in October. Meanwhile, Kingston Private Health, the private unit at Kingston Hospital NHS Trust in southwest London, offered rapid access with no waiting lists. Treatments include hip replacement surgery for £10,100. Patients are cared for by experienced NHS nursing staff. The Royal Free London NHS Foundation Trust writes on its website for its private division of a quick and easy way to get immediate access to the healthcare you need. Under the Health and Social Care Act 2012, NHS hospital trusts were permitted to generate up to 49% of their income from private patients. By 2015-2016, nearly £600 million a year was being generated by the NHS treating private patients. The pandemic and record waiting list led to a review of private services by some NHS trusts. King's College Hospital NHS Trust in South London stood down inpatient and outpatient private services during the coronavirus pandemic to allow the inpatient beds to be used for NHS patients. The inpatient service has yet to reopen. Independent has also covered the same story. The National Health Service across the United Kingdom is already facing a two-tier system by stealth, an expert has warned, following leaks of Scottish health policy plans. A two-tier healthcare system is already developing across the United Kingdom, think tank the Institute of Public Policy Research, IPPR, has said, as waiting lists push patients towards more paid-for-care. The comments come following reports by the BBC revealing NHS leaders in Scotland have discussed creating a two-tier healthcare system amid concerns over the sustainability of healthcare services in the country. Chris Thomas, head of the Commission on Health and Prosperity for the Institute of Public Policy Research, IPPR, told The Independent, "Even beyond it becoming formal policy, we have a two-tier system. We're worried that that's happening anyway across the United Kingdom." He pointed to the Institute for Public Policy Research earlier this year, which found, despite a universal support from political parties and public for the founding principles for the National Health Service that is free, comprehensive and tax-funded, there was a growing movement to opt out from NHS services, where patients face long waiting lists, waiting times or access issues. Earlier this year, for example, Private Hospital Information Network estimated the number of people paying out of their own resources for hip replacement surgery or hip operations between 2019 and 2022 has increased by 193%. Mr. Thomas said he was concerned the NHS across the United Kingdom was heading for the equivalent of the English education system, or at worst, a similar structure to dentistry or social care, where he warned was very much a two-tier system. However, he added, "I think it's probably a symptom of the underfunding, I think, rather than something that feels imminent or particularly on the table. But if funding is low, if the NHS is struggling for long periods of time to provide universal healthcare needs, options end up on the table. My biggest fear, if the NHS was to become really, really conditional on the ability to pay, the coalition that supports it, the political capital it has, is dependent on it being one of the most universal healthcare services that we have. I'd be really nervous if it became more like social security, which only benefits a small number of people." According to reports from the BBC, minutes from a meeting with high-ranking health officials were given the green light by NHS Scotland Chief Caroline Lamb to discuss reform of a service which finds itself in crisis. One of the suggestions, according to the report, would result in a two-tier healthcare system where some people would pay for healthcare. Other suggestions include changing the risk appetite from what we see in hospitals by setting a target of discharging patients for their home for treatment within 23 hours. Leaders also considered a review of the cost of long-term prescribing of drugs, pausing the funding of new drugs, applying a charge for freedom of information requests, and sending patients home for care, according to the document, while saying there was a £1 billion hole in their NHS services finances.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi,
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the holy book, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, He sent down commands, He sent down advices, He sent down many things that me and you need to learn, many things that we need to uphold, many things that we need to follow. Amongst these things are human traits, because the Creator Himself knows what He created, and He knows what His creation needs. There are a number of traits that He said a human being needs to strive to attain and to have in their lives. One of these traits that we have been discussing in a number of episodes now is taqwa. Because many times when I and you read the Quran and we come across the word taqwa, we pass it extremely quickly, quicker than the sound or the speed of sound or the speed of light. Because we just say, well, good taqwa, that's it. I mean, what is there more to? So we just kind of pass by it. But yet, taqwa is in fact the core of life itself. So we want to see how this taqwa plays a role in our lives, especially in terms of human beings and human rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 2 al-Baqarah in verse 197, He says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, and make sure you take sustenance with you. Have provisions. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ, surely the best of provisions is taqwa. So if you want to travel and you want to pack your bag and you want to choose things to have, the important things you need in your trip, taqwa would be it. So during life, if you want to navigate life, then we need to have taqwa. In relation to human rights, taqwa, or being mindful or conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it plays a crucial role in promoting fairness and justice. By being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and striving to live a life that is in line with His command, we are more likely to act in a way that respects the rights of others. And that is just how the formula works. If I am aware of Allah, if I am aware of His laws, then that will automatically equals me respecting other people. Because God's laws are very simple. Respect Allah, worship Allah, take care of yourself, and take care of people. These are the commands that I play with on a daily basis. Allah, myself, and others. If I'm conscious of Him, if I'm conscious of His commands, then I won't break them. And by not breaking them, then I am keeping the rights of Allah, maintaining the rights of myself, and maintaining the rights of others. Therefore, human rights have been achieved. And that's why we see today's war is on the faith of people. Let's take a short break, and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we said taqwa is the compass. Taqwa is the tool. Taqwa is the luggage one should carry so he can navigate through life. And we said that today's war, the war that's raised by the West and the media, is on the faith of people. They're trying to deprive the notion of God from them. And mind you, this is across all religions. All religions right now are under attack. It doesn't matter whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, whatever religion it is. They're constantly under attack now. Why? Because they're trying to remove the God conscious from people. And mind you, people sometimes believe in, I don't know, a cow or a monkey or a rat. And they have places of worship for these animals in India, for example. But those who follow these animals, they are very conscious of their actions not to harm that animal. For example, those who worship a cow, they would not eat meat, they would not drink milk, they would do respect to the cow. So they are conscious. So the concept is the Western media and the Western culture is trying to deprive that from people. They don't care who you're praying to. Just don't be mindful and cautious of other deities. Just let go. Enjoy yourself. And in that comes the danger, because in enjoying myself, it means I have to come a step on your rights. I will, you know, in order for me to enjoy myself, I want to go half naked. I want to eat this, and I want to do that, and I want to steal, I want to kill. Well, I'm trying to please myself, right? So you can see that the way they're pushing people is to stay away from Allah. If we are away from Allah, then we are no longer have taqwa. When we no longer have taqwa and mindfulness and fearfulness and consciousness of Allah, then what happens is we will start killing each other. And this is exactly what happened before and what is still happening today. So taqwa will help us understand the values of treating one another with dignity and respect. It also encourages the individuals to act justly and seek justice for ourselves and for other people, because no one wants to be harmed. So if I am conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are aware and conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will not come to have any problems between us. Why? Because I'm trying to preserve the command of Allah, and so are you. And then we are on the same side. We're no longer enemies. We become friends. So you see, this taqwa can help prevent human rights. It can help prevent human rights abuses and to create more equitable and just society. And ultimately, this is what we need. And ultimately, this is what we get, what we will get when the 12th Imam alayhi salam reappears. But the idea here, the Quran trying to say, people, listen to me. If you want provision, if you want the best, then have taqwa. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the chapter, at the end of the verse, not the chapter, he says, وَاتَّقُونِ Ya ulil albab, all people of intellect, all people of thinking, be mindful of me. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
In the U.S., Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger says the former President Donald Trump should be charged with conspiracy over the Capitol insurrection. We'll take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British news outlet The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. The Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger said in an interview on Sunday that he believes the Department of Justice will do the right thing and bring criminal charges against Donald Trump for his role in the attack on the U.S. Capitol on 6th of January 2021. "I think he will be charged, and I frankly think he should be charged," Adam Kinzinger told CNN's State of the Union political talk show on Sunday morning, 1st of January. Representative Adam Kinzinger, a Republican from Illinois, thinks the Department of Justice will charge Donald Trump. "I think the Justice Department will do the right thing. I think he will be charged. I frankly think he should be." Last month, the House Select Committee investigating the attack on which Kinzinger sits voted to refer the former president to the Justice Department on charges of obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress, conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to make a false statement, and incite, assist, or aid or comfort an insurrection. The recommendations relate to the former U.S. president's role in encouraging the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., as thousands of his extremist supporters sought to prevent the certification by Congress of Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 presidential election. "If he is not guilty of a crime, then I frankly fear for the future of this country, because now every future president can say, 'Hey, here's the bar.' And the bar is, do everything you can to stay in power," Kinzinger said. Adam Kinzinger was one of two Republicans on the Democratic-led January 6 Select Committee, which wrapped up its investigation before the new Congress begins on Tuesday, 3rd of January, when Republicans will assume the majority in the House following last November's midterm elections. Kinzinger led one of the committee's sessions last June that focused on pressure allegedly placed on the Justice Department by Trump or his allies as he strove to persuade them to overturn his 2020 defeat by falsely claiming the election was blighted by widespread voter fraud. He has represented Illinois in the House of Representatives since 2011 and was speaking following the last session held by the committee and on the eve of his departure from Congress. Adam Kinzinger also slammed Republican leaders for maintaining Donald Trump's influence on the U.S. Capitol landscape by playing down the significance of the Capitol attack and Trump's incitement of the riot, and often backing Trump's lies about elections being rigged. He blamed the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy in particular, who is currently battling to become the new Speaker of the House, as the reason the former President Donald Trump remains such a force in U.S. politics. "He is the reason Donald Trump is still a factor," Adam Kinzinger said. "He," referring to Kevin McCarthy, "is the reason that some of the crazy elements of the House still exist." Kevin McCarthy, he said, has visited Trump at his Mar-a-Lago, Florida residence shortly after the January 6 insurrection. That show of mutual support at a pivotal moment resurrected Trump's relevance in politics, strengthening the right. In McCarthy making the trip, he said, Republicans went from not knowing what to do about Trump to begrudgingly defending him. Donald Trump should consider Kevin McCarthy his best friend because Donald Trump is alive today politically because of Kevin McCarthy, Adam Kinzinger said. He noted that the then Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and other Senate Republicans failed to convict Trump during his historic second impeachment for inciting the insurrection. "The Republican Party is not the future of this country unless it corrects itself," he said. "If you think of a successful America in 20 years' time, that's not going to be an America based on what Marjorie Taylor Greene wants or some of these radicals want," he added. As the 2024 presidential election gradually takes shape, Adam Kinzinger said he was fearful for American democracy, given that maybe a third of the country believes the last election was stolen from Donald Trump. The Republican congressman said it was not his intention to run for the Republican presidential nomination, but he conceded that it would be fun to run against Trump, who in November declared his candidacy for the 2024 Republican nomination. The website Axios.com has also covered this story and tells us more. Outgoing Representative Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois, said in an interview on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday that he fears for the future of this country if former President Donald Trump isn't charged with a crime over the deadly 6th of January 2021 insurrection. "If this is not a crime, I don't know what it is," Kinzinger, one of two Republican members of the House January 6 committee, told CNN. "If a president can incite an insurrection and not be held accountable, then really there is no limit to what a president can do or can't do." Kinzinger, who was also one of the 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump for incitement of the insurrection in January of 2021, announced later that year that he would not seek re-election in October of 2021. "I think the Justice Department will do the right thing. I think he will be charged, and I frankly think he should be charged," Kinzinger told CNN. "If he's not guilty of a crime, then I frankly fear for the future of this country. I feel honored to be at this moment in history and to have done the right thing," he added. In an unprecedented move, the January 6 panel voted unanimously in December to refer Donald Trump to the Department of Justice on at least four criminal charges, for his efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. The House committee referred Donald Trump, who has announced the 2024 White House bid on charges of obstruction of an official congressional proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to make a false statement, and incite, assist, or aid and comfort an insurrection. The referrals do not require the Department of Justice to take any additional steps. However, the referrals could help with the Department of Justice's own investigation into Donald Trump. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed Special Counsel Jack Smith to oversee the federal criminal investigations into Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election and handling of classified documents that will be tasked with prosecuting federal crimes that arise from the investigations. The January 6th House panel has released dozens of transcripts along with its long-awaited final report, making public witness testimony gathered from its 18-month investigation into the Capitol riot. The House committee is set to resolve on Tuesday, 3rd of January 2023, at the start of the new Congress, which will see Republicans narrowly take control of the House of Representatives.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners, because as you know, today marks the commemoration of the anniversary of the Mab'as, which is the day in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was formally delegated as a prophet. The story goes that, you know, as you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go to the outskirts of Mecca. There was a cave there. This cave is still present, the cave of Hira. He would go and he would perform acts of ibadat and worship there. One night, when the Prophet was there, obviously performing these acts of worship, the angel Gabriel, he manifested himself to the Prophet, and he brought the first verses of the Holy Quran. The Surah Iqra. And this was the formal delegation of the Prophet and the commencement of his Nubuwwat. In this connection, and also in description of the virtues of the Holy Prophet, we have many hadiths, obviously, and specifically, there are many sermons in the Nahjul Balagha in which Imam Ali alayhi salam, he alludes to these virtues in the 72nd sermon of the Nahjul Balagha. The Imam Ali alayhi salam says the following regarding the Prophet Muhammad. He says, he was a prophet who was the seal of the prophets preceding him. He opened doors which were previously closed, and he revealed truth. He manifested truth with truth. He repelled the noise of falsehood, and he destroyed the attacks of misguidance. He stood up by the order of God, and he took steps forward on the path towards God's good pleasure. He never doubted, he never allowed himself to doubt, and his resolve was never weakened. He received revelation with awareness, and he progressed forward in the performance of the orders that, you know, that he had been ordered with. He guided those hearts which had sunken into sins and transgressions, and he fortified and established the laws and regulations of Islam.